Good morning, I'm Renee Montaigne. A couple of lab monkeys reaching for marshmallows could hold the key to restoring arm function in paralyzed people. The monkeys grab their snacks with robotic arms controlled by just their thoughts. Tiny sensors implanted in their brains direct waves into the computer that operates the arm. Researchers in the journal Nature say it's a critical refinement on earlier work and shows that prosthetics controlled by the brain are at least possible. It's Morning Edition.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jean Cochran. 16 people were killed in a suicide bombing in northwestern Iraq today. Officials say the bomber set off his explosives among a crowd of men at a police recruiting center, and most of those killed were recruits. More than a dozen other people were wounded. Iraq, meanwhile, has renewed its call for foreign creditors to cancel its debt, which totals about $60 billion. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is asking for debt forgiveness at an international conference in Stockholm, Sweden. Larry Miller reports.
Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki wants his country's foreign debt canceled and an end to international sanctions imposed during the reign of Saddam Hussein. He asked the donor conference to support Iraq's sovereignty and to stop interfering in its internal affairs. The conference is reviewing the International Compact with Iraq, a five-year plan designed to bring peace, prosperity, and political reconciliation to the country. Secretary of State Rice accepted skepticism remains about the level of improvement in Iraq, but described it as a fully functioning system. She said al-Maliki's government should be rewarded for meeting its pledges on security and political reforms. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
The White House describes President Bush as surprised and puzzled by former Press Secretary Scott McClellan's new insider account. In it, McClellan argues the Bush administration misled the nation into war and that the president fell into the trap of believing his own spin. McClellan's predecessor, Ari Fleischer, wonders about McClellan's sudden turnabout, saying he never expressed any misgivings before. Idaho Republican Senator Larry Craig is writing a book. He retires from Congress in January after 18 years in the Senate and a decade in the House. He told a Boise TV station his book will focus on the state of politics in Washington, but also review his career, which included his arrest by an undercover officer in a men's room at the Minneapolis airport. The government's losing its gene guru. The scientist who guided the federal effort to unravel the human genetic code is resigning. NPR's Joe Palca has more.
In the early 1990s, the federal government started an audacious project to sequence all 3 billion letters of DNA that make up the human genome. In 1993, a geneticist from the University of Michigan named Francis Collins came to the National Institutes of Health to lead the project. In June 2000, Collins went to the White House to announce the project was substantially complete, although he was forced to share the limelight with Craig Venter, who had launched a private effort to accomplish the same goal. Since then, Collins has led efforts to make sense of the genome sequence, not just how the information can be used to diagnose and treat diseases, but also what it tells us about the evolution of life on this planet. Collins says he is stepping down to pursue writing and other professional opportunities. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR. Bear Stearns is about to vanish into history. The investment house was brought to the brink of bankruptcy amid heavy mortgage-related losses. And today, with a vote by its shareholders, Bear Stearns is expected to become part of J.P. Morgan Chase. The stock was worth almost $154 a year ago. Today, shareholders are being asked to approve the purchase for $10 a share. Another perk for the flying public bites the dust. U.S. Airways says it is eliminating free snacks in coach class on all domestic flights starting June 1st. No more pretzels or peanuts. The price of jet fuel has soared this year, and the airline says cutting free snacks is necessary to save money. Soft drinks, still complimentary. Flight attendants for Delta Airlines have again failed to get enough votes necessary to form a union. Susanna Capilouto of Georgia Public Broadcasting has more from Atlanta.
Only about 40% of Delta Airlines flight attendants filled out a ballot, almost all in favor of unionizing. The rest didn't vote, and because more than 50% is needed to validate the election, it was rejected by the National Mediation Board. Atlanta-based Delta officials were pleased, saying they are the best advocate for their employees. Corey Caldwell, a spokesperson for the Association of Flight Attendants, says things will change once Delta merges with Northwest Airlines.
We are optimistic that voter turnout will only increase as Delta and Northwest continue down the merger path.
Northwest's flight attendants are part of the union already, and Caldwell says after a merger, new elections will be held. For NPR News, I'm Susanna Capoluto in Atlanta.
I'm Jean Cochran, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org.
It's 5:35, time for the weather on AM 580, and we have a temperature right now of 47 degrees on Friends Plaza. Out at Willard Airport at the top of the hour, 48 degrees with a clear sky, a dew point of just 40. It's still very dry. Relative humidity 73%, which is actually low for this time of day, and the wind from the northeast at 7 miles per hour. We will have another mainly sunny day today. Yesterday we had bright sunshine.